Blog Talk Radio.
For even strength, oh, the line of choice is made.
Freaking Obi, freaking Beagle.
Adam Oates, the goalies are disgruntled. Adam Oates, Marlene Rat, Justin Penner. Adam Oates, who cares about these stickers? Adam Oates, freaking Obi, freaking Beagle.
By the genius of the Russian Machine Never Breaks. Those guys, they're primarily a Washington Caps website that you were following, Kelly, at first. I'm going to get into intros in a minute because I don't want to keep this man any longer for his official debut. But that song was about our first news item we're going to get to, which I'll explain in a minute, the Adam Oates Goodbye Song. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. They're primarily a Capitals website, but they do hit other hockey topics, all the major news items. They are genius when it comes to writing these articles. Genius, I'm telling you. Follow them at Facebook.com/RussianMachineNeverBreaks, RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, and Twitter.com/RussianMachine. Welcome to Obey the Puck. I am the best hostess in the world. Don't smile at me. I am Dan Colachico. Follow me on Twitter at DanLo83. With me, as always, is Kelly the Angry Spatula, Levy, and Paul Baker.
The new guy.
Da-da-da. Paul Baker, who we're going to hold off on his happiness for now. But we're going to get into that later because the Boston Bruins have a little bit of a resting period, as they eliminated the
Detroit.
Thank you. Wow, what a brain freeze. Holy moly.
It's pretty understandable that really didn't resemble Detroit in any way, shape, or form that hockey fans have come to know over the past 23 years. So
come to know as. Paul Baker, who is joining us, found him through Kelly, but on his website, stadiumjourney.com. He is now a full-time member, as long as he wants to be, of Obey the Puck. Now, Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good to
we're doing it old school here. I had a little computer malfunction, but I'm hanging in there.
First week that he comes on, and he was talking to me about a half hour before the show, computer, hard drive fried. Awesome. I'm like, yeah, that's about every Wednesday night when we do HIEC Thought Radio, something breaks. Website or on our end. The first order of business, and I know, Paul, we didn't reply to your Twitter message about this news because we wanted to discuss it on air. Something we have been talking about for a couple weeks, Kelly, we were saying, who would leave the Capitals, McPhee or Adam Oates? We got both gone. First, Kelly, how do you feel?
Relieved, I guess. Having to go through 82 games with Oates as a coach was really painful. I don't know what they're going to do, but if anyone can top the craziness of this season, I will be duly impressed.
Yeah, I didn't think we would get both.
I figured it was a package deal.
I figured they'd give Schmuck McPhee one more year. Just the last, again, I've said on the show, being in the area now, they've become my second favorite team. I see them all the time, and you kind of get a little emotional attachment to the suckiness that is the Washington Capitals. Holy moly, the suckiness. Explain to me, no, explain on air the goalie thing you were mentioning earlier, the original goal coach and how that transpired this year and how well that worked for Holtby.
Oates came in and said he wanted to change how the goaltenders played. Dave Pryor, who's been the Caps goalie coach forever, said, no. He was promptly fired, and they brought in Olaf Polzig, who's a buddy of Oates, to be the goalie coach. And you saw what happened to Holtby in the middle of the season as they tried to change his style of play. He went from being a decent goalie who was starting to kind of put it together to he was just a mess in the middle of the season as he was trying to override, at this point, 20 years of coaching and playing to change this weird deep in the net angle thing that they wanted to do. And
so I'm going to ask it like this. I'm going to go to Paul first because there's a reason why I'm going to Paul first because of his comment. I want him to say it on air. What changes do you want to be seen? Wow, that didn't make any sense. What changes do you want to happen within the organization play-wise? Paul Baker had a theory. Paul, what did you say to us on Twitter the other day?
Oh, my theory is you got to start looking at the players. I mean, look at Ovechkin. What would he, minus 35 or something incredible like that? And how many coaches have he gone through? I don't know how long he's been in Washington, about what, 7, 8, 9 years, and they're on, what, their fourth coach already?
Yeah.
Little responsibility has got to be put in his lap, I think.
I think it's on all of the players, not just him, but they've McPhee kept bringing in these guys who haven't been NHL coaches. If anyone remembers, I doubt anyone was watching other than us Caps fans, the Glenn Hanlon years. That was like the trial run of what became the Dale Hunter year. It was like they were just terrified to let anyone come in, everyone fell back and they never attacked. And even with that, Ovi still scored, you know, like 40 goals or something, whatever it was. It was painful to watch. We just need some kind of defensive system. That would be really nice. And a key to that would be not letting Callie Johansson be our defensive coach, because I love Callie. He's been in D.C. forever, but that doesn't mean he can be our defensive coach. It doesn't. That'd be like bringing Brendan Witt back and say, okay, show us how it's done, Brendan, and he would just stare at you like he did for 15 years.
You know, maybe Ken Klee is available, too.
Oh, yeah, why not? I mean,
but the great point you have about the inexperienced coaches, if you remember last year during the lockout, Adam Oates had zero head coaching experience, so they actually sent him to Hershey during the lockout to co-coach down there and get used to matching lines and all the in-game things that you need to be on top of as a coach.
Yeah, and he did a fantastic job. How many times did the Caps run into each other? How many times do we get extra man on the ice it was if I hadn't been invested in any way, shape, or form, it would have been truly hysterical, but it was painful.
Let's not even talk about player trades and acquisitions. I mean, take a look at Cody Eakin and Mike Ribeiro at this point. I mean, Mike Ribeiro, I guess, worked out kind of for the Coyotes much better than anything worked out for the Capitals this year. And look at Cody Eakin. They're eliminated now. We'll get into it later. But look at Cody Eakin on the Dallas Stars.
The
production.
There's that core group that came up, the big, after the huge purge that McPhee went through, when we had stockpiled all those draft picks, which turned into Ovi and Backstrom and Green and Semin and those, that core group you think of as the Capitals of about 5 years ago. We got a lot of really good young players. And what happened was that group was up in D.C. and there was never room for them. They were never going to get the chance to make it up at the NHL level. And we wound up trading away these guys. And they're going on to have great careers, which I'm happy for. I just wish it could have been here. And we wouldn't have brought in Erat and Ribeiro and Fedorov and all these guys who didn't stay for some reason. Gee, I wonder why.
What do you think about Russian Machine? Again, a go-to website for all caps news, RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. I'm not getting this in, but they're nice guys. what about Matt Bradley or Chris Simon?
Oh, great, yes. I think Hare should be our coach. Oh, yeah, Jim Carrey. There's one trade I'm very proud of. We did manage that one. That was before McPhee, but we managed to unload Carrey on the Bruins years ago.
How'd that work out, Paul?
Wonderful. He made, a couple of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective movies. You know, it was a big hit.
he was in the Mask, too, wasn't he? Great, great movie. What about Langway?
Langway? Oh, dear God. No.
What makes you laugh more, Langway or Tikkanen?
I don't know. Tikkanen would be great just for the press conferences because he still can't speak English, and he's been here over 30 years now.
I think it's my choice. Or Michael Nylander?
Are we still paying Nylander? We might be. The entire Jager crew that we brought in so his Jagerness could play with his blood. And then we wound up getting stuck with all the contracts.
Jager was great in Philly. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, that 1 year in Philly, that worked out.
He was great for the 4 games he played for the Boston Bruins, too.
Hey, come on. He got an assist in the playoffs.
Hey, there you go.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I thought he was going to stick around. He was like, no, the Devils are the way to go, let me tell you. I want another Stanley Cup. I think I'm going to go to the Devils, not the Bruins, moron.
He couldn't have played a whole season in Boston. The system just wasn't for him.
Kevin Kaminsky?
Oh, that'll work.
That would work?
I'll take Killer, sure.
What about, I mentioned a name, and the only reason why I mentioned this name, and Paul, I don't know how you feel about this, what about Lavi? I'll just say Lavi because I can never pronounce his stinking name. Laviolette.
I'd love that. All I'd like is a coach here who's won something at the NHL level. That's all I'd like. And that would be awesome. I'd love if we could get a GM who's built something. That would be fantastic. So that would be two new things, really. But I'm not holding my breath.
Start with you, Paul, and then you, Kelly. Any final comments on the Washington Capitals shakeup?
It's well deserved. What they're supposed to pay after the years of underachieving. It's one of those teams that just can't seem to find the right formula. So here's to hoping that they can find it next year.
Miss Levy.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, having lived through it, you kind of, I think we kind of thought when we made it to the playoffs with a completely new group of players and coaches and everything that it might be different, but it's always the same result. Which leads you to believe that's an organizational problem. It doesn't matter who we have on the ice. There's something about the whole system that doesn't work. So it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in to try to right the ship and rebuild and all that. But I don't know.
I really feel that a shakeup needs to happen. I'm not saying Paul is wrong, but I think trading Ovi is a dumb, dumb thing. What else they got? Why would they trade him?
I don't think they will. I know that's the talk for everyone. I know negative 35. Oh, my God. did anyone watch any of those games? Did you see any of our defensive players actually playing defense?
I don't think anybody on the Caps were playing defense.
Everyone's like, oh, well, Ovi scored 50 goals, but negative 35. I was like, at least he scored 50 goals. No one else on that team did anything.
The thing about, like, we can talk also compare, and then I'll move on. We'll also compare Flyer, you know, teams that we watch. I can't really compare the Bruins to these two teams because I really don't see a flaw in many Bruins playing.
You talk about the Bruins before the Cup run.
Well, we can talk about the Bruins before the Cup run. I'm talking about the season, though. We compare them to the Flyers, who are having defensive problems, but you got seven guys on that team scoring 20 goals or more. So instead of just one or two people producing, you had more production on the scoring line. That's something the Caps also need to work on.
Oh, no, the Caps were universally awful, except at the power play. They were the worst team 5-on-5 I saw this season, and I'm including Buffalo in that. I'm including Edmonton in that. They were horrible 5-on-5, and that's how you get a guy who scores 50 goals being negative 35. The other part of that is being on a line with Jay Beagle for more than 2 months, but that's a whole other discussion. They were universally horrible in every aspect of the game except for the power play this year.
Well, who's worse off? The Washington Capitals or the Carolina Hurricanes? Because the Hurricanes also made a little shakeup in their...
That one's tough. I'd say because they picked up Semin as a free agent, they're in worse shape.
That's
a personal bias.
But today, Jim Rutherford stepped down, and Ron Francis was named the new Hurricanes general manager. Ron Francis. Paul, your thoughts.
Well, if Ron Francis and the GM can pull off a trade like Ron Francis, the player, was involved in back in the day, then he'll be able to turn around the Hurricanes pretty quickly. But, yeah, like Kelly said, I don't think Carolina has a whole lot of really top-notch chips right now. So I think they're going to be entering a total rebuild mode. So.
Now, Skinner's fantastic. Having seen him play quite a bit from the Southeast Division years and then this year, he's a great young talent. I don't know what's captain to Cam Ward. Other than that, they got nothing. They got, what, two Stalls out of a set of five at this point? Whatever.
Didn't they have four out of five at one point?
I think they had four. Yeah, they almost
Jordan,
had the complete
Eric and
set.
Jeffro or something.
They almost had the complete set, but then one of the glasses broke or something. So.
Oh, my God. That's good. So, yeah, I don't really see, in my opinion, I really don't see the Hurricanes doing a whole rebuild. They got the guys on that team. Like, I don't see a wholesale. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you pull a wholesale and do an Oilers thing? Just start from the very bottom up.
I don't know. Carolina's different on from a business standpoint. I don't know if they can afford to do a total rebuild with that team. I think they're kind of marginalized as it is in that market. You know, doing that in Edmonton, it's Edmonton. It's hockey in Edmonton. There's, you know, the Oilers are forever.
Right. Open the doors to people coming.
They rebuild all the time, and they've come to expect that, but I don't know if you can do that in Carolina and expect the fans to support it in any kind of way.
Well, I mean, it was like, I know I'm not comparing Philly to a Canadian hockey team, please, except maybe the Calgary Flames. That was mean. I'm sorry, I take that back. But, you know, you talk about season ticket prices and how people would stop going when they weren't that good, and I'm talking about maybe not that many because they're always top five attendance-wise, but I was like, yes, I'll take those, please. I'll go whether they said, but like I said, the year I went, was the Forsberg year. The suck year. Other than last year. I mean, the really suck year. Yeah, I don't know. Well, teams like Columbus and, I mean, if you're Dallas, if you're a team that made the playoffs but you're out in the first round, do you pretty much keep everybody? Or do you make
Do you want the George McPhee answer to that? Or?
I want both answers.
Well, luckily this isn't like basketball where if you're in that six, seven, eight seed, you're in the netherworld where you don't have a shot in hell of doing anything, but you don't stink bad enough to get that one player you need. Hockey's a little different animal, and I think we've seen that in the past where teams who are lower seeded can make long playoff runs. So I think, you know, you've got that puncher's chance. So I don't think if you're one of those borderline teams that you have to strip it all down and start over. I think with the right moves, you can improve yourself rather quickly in hockey.
I think this season, this first round is kind of a tale of a couple different teams. I mean, you've got Detroit that is seemingly at the very end of their up cycle. I mean, they squeaked into the playoffs this year because they were in a horrible Eastern Conference. But you saw the problems that they had, just putting aside all the injuries, just the pure age of most of their stars and the young guys who weren't quite ready to make the step up to full-time NHL. But then you have teams like Dallas, who despite a crushing defeat last night in a spectacular kind of way, that's a young team that seems to have a lot of pieces. I would recommend a new goaltender for them because I watched Lettinen in Atlanta for many years. He's not the answer, and neither is Tim Thomas, unfortunately, at this point in his career.
Well, you know the old saying, if the crease wasn't frozen, he would have drowned, and that was the case on last night's last goal. He was just laying on his belly there.
Yeah, and we saw that for years when he was in Atlanta, so I don't know why they were convinced that was going to change in Dallas. He's been better, but, you know, meh.
Right now it looks like, you know what, I'll wait to get into the NHL thing. But
what about St. Louis?
What do you do?
Once again is out. Well, a good friend of mine did point out that Ryan Miller is elite in Ryan Miller's mind and the guy who drafted him. Other than that, he's never won anything at any level. He got a silver medal. That's about the top of his resume.
St. Louis will be interesting. They went all in this spring for this year, and it just fell apart on them. So it'll be interesting to see who they keep and who they don't keep and what they do going forward.
Yeah, I think the problem for them is just they need to avoid Chicago at some point.
Well, that can be said for probably about 27, 28 of teams in the league.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, we are going to talk about the NHL playoffs.
The playoffs?
Yeah. I just didn't feel like fixing that one. The NHL playoffs in a second, but I want to go into the AHL playoffs, but Paul wanted to mention a few things first about some AHL tidbits. Paul, the floor is yellow.
Oh, the giant shadow being cast over the whole AHL right now is this long-rumored Western Bloc movement where a bunch of the Western Conference teams want to take their affiliates, root them up from the Northeast and move them out west. Now, like I said, this has been rumored for a long time, but it's really been mentioned a lot out of a lot of very reputable sources. So the word on the street is that not for this coming season, but in 2015, you're going to see Los Angeles, San Jose, Anaheim, Phoenix, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton all take their teams and move them out to the West Coast.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but how many teams would you, off the top of your heads, folks, how many teams would that be uprooting?
Seven. And, yeah, it's got to happen like that where they all move together or it's just not going to work. I mean, anybody who follows the league saw the mess that happened in Abbotsford with Calgary putting their team out there in the Vancouver suburbs.
Yeah.
And just what an awful money-losing enterprise that turned out to be. So they've got to all do it at once. And, you know, I'm not totally convinced that it's going to work because the travel in between these western cities is still going to necessitate, you know, a lot of airplane trips and stuff like that. The advantage to being in the Northeast or in the upper Midwest where most of the teams are clustered is that travel is really minimal in between these cities, so you get a lot more practice time with your team. Now, the disadvantage is when you need a player, they're on the opposite end of the country. And, you know, getting your team personnel out there, your scouts and what have you, to get out there to follow the team can be expensive. So they're trying to cut down on that cost. So we'll see what happens. But the rumors are within a few weeks we should be hearing something.
And so we'll have a schedule in 2 years. Once again, we don't see more than half the teams in the league.
Well, when you're in the AHL, you usually don't anyway. I mean, being a holder at Providence, I think I've seen the same 8 teams 10 times a year for the past 15 years.
Yeah, I know several fans in several cities, and they're all just, they're so sick of seeing the same teams over and over and over again.
Can you do this move and just modify the schedule to purposely stick another team in the schedule a couple times?
They tried. I think the teams have to agree to those trips.
Yeah, it's really strange how they do it. I know with what I know about Providence is they really take their budgeting seriously, so they really cut down on the trips and really kind of do as much bus travel as they can as opposed to having to put up a team in a hotel. And I think they only spent out of the whole season maybe a dozen nights this year in hotels. So you think of all the money that saves on a minor league budget. It really is incredible that they can do that.
Well,
all the money they've saved never making a schedule. Sorry, I'm bitter.
Those pocket schedules really add up.
I'm so bitter. Yeah. every year my AHL collection, no Providence.
I guess charging an arm and a leg for the watching the games doesn't help them. To pay for those hotel rooms.
Nah.
I mean, just this morning I looked at. I'm just saying it was a joke. I was like, hey, let's see what a playoff package would cost.
Oh, the age of the streaming. Yeah.
Never mind. I think I'll just read.
Yeah, it really has become pretty expensive. I know the tickets in Providence will run you for the cheapest ticket for a opening round playoff game will run you $31.
Oh, wow, 31?
Ooh.
31, yeah. I'm glad that mine come as part of my package, or else I couldn't see myself going to these games.
What is the dunk seat?
Oh, the dunk seat's about 12,000.
Oh, okay. It's a bigger arena. In my head, that was maybe like a 7,000 or 8,000 seater.
No, dunk's one of the bigger venues in the league.
Okay.
What word are you saying?
The dunk. It's
the
Dunkin' Donut Center.
That's cool. All right.
Well, ironically, you cannot buy a donut.
What? That's blasphemy.
You cannot get a donut in the Dunkin' Donut Center.
That's poor marketing. What is up with that?
A little bit of...
Two Dunkin' Donut stands sell coffee, not donuts.
Well, why would they sell donuts? It's only their name.
That's a bunch of horse crap. Or at least that crappy little breakfast sandwich that... has the bread as thin as a dime, whatever the hell that is.
In the South, we think it's adorable that Dunkin' Donuts attempts to sell a sausage biscuit.
Tim Horton, whoever owns that place, please bring the damn Tim Horton.
The Yankees know a lot of things, but the Yankees don't know anything about biscuits.
No.
So that should just be too different. Don't even go there.
So... speaking of the AHL, and Paul and Kelly, you lead this one. Actually, no, let me make my final comment first. You don't know how badly I want to watch the Phantom season. In the worst way, and it's just not even universally acceptable that I pay that much to watch that little team.
Do what all the AHL fans, you listen to the radio feed on the interweb.
You know, I'm going to start doing that. I'll just play the Flyers games and just put the Phantoms audio on and just keep track of both games.
Yeah.
You know, it could be like when you watch The Wizard of Oz and listen to Pink Floyd. Maybe they'll sync up.
That's very true.
Some of the names might be the same.
You get the reference, right?
How many Shen brothers you got now?
Two out of the
two. Is there only two?
There's two.
Oh, okay.
You get that reference, right?
Yes, I
okay,
understood.
Good. I was going to try to school you again, but never mind. Oh, I probably told you four times already. But speaking of the AHL, you two lead this discussion. The playoffs started, what, last Tuesday?
Wednesday.
How, what?
You know the funny thing about the AHL playoffs is they're about a week and a half behind the NHL, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Well, they're...
I always thought it was the NHL named their team, and then those guys get sent down. I thought that was the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, I don't know, but the season itself lasted an extra week in the American League, so.
Huh.
Now, they're going to catch up because the first series has a five-game.
But you know what? All the series except one have only played two games thus far.
Right, yeah. And, yeah, it's your series that has three games, right, Paul?
Yeah, I'll be going to my last game probably tomorrow night.
Yeah, that bad, huh?
Oh, you know what? I've got to say, Providence has hung in there a whole lot better than I thought. They ended up with the seventh seed, and they're playing Springfield, who had a really strong season, and it's been 3-1 goal games. Two of them have gone to overtime.
Oh, wow.
So, that's been good. Yeah, so far in the AHL, in the West anyway, the seeds have really held.
Yeah.
And the top three seeds are all up 2-0. The only series that's 1-1 out there is Chicago and Rochester. Everybody else is 2-0. And the East, everybody after two games was split 1-1. So very competitive. And things switch quick in the minor leagues after somebody gets eliminated. Like, for example, for Springfield, once Columbus finishes losing, you know, in their valiant effort,
I don't know,
they'll end up with some reinforcements.
They just scored again.
It's 4-3 right now.
4-3.
Oh, look at that. I was delayed. It is 4-3.
Yeah, we got a delay, too.
Never say never when you've got the flower, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go, Flurry. That's playoff Flurry right there.
That might have been the scream I heard from downstairs.
I think we all became Blue Jackets fans in the postseason.
I don't want to track off like we did last week, but just one quick question to Paul. Does everybody hate Pittsburgh up in the Northeast as well?
Have you seen any of your Boston-Pittsburgh games?
No, I'm usually watching the Flyers lose.
let's just say this way. Montreal is a level of hatred all to themselves, but Pittsburgh is only about a half a step behind them.
Yeah, there's something about that team that inspires that.
So, all right, back to the AHL thing. Is there any team right now that's surprising you? That you thought, well, they got into the playoffs, but
Well, for Norfolk to come up and be battling Manchester on even terms, Manchester was just a juggernaut all season here in the East. And Norfolk split the two games up in Manchester, so we'll see what happens now that they go down to Virginia.
Go ahead.
At the Scope.
Well,
bad things happen at the Scope in the playoffs for teams that I like. Who are not Norfolk. that'll be interesting. I've been trying to keep up and read, but it's not the same as being at a game, unfortunately. So I'm just trying to keep up with the AHL this year, hoping to catch some games on the net and stuff like that. But from what I hear, Texas is just scary, scary good this year. And they've got three of the top 10 scorers in the league. And they'll get whoever's coming down from Dallas now. They could power through that Western Conference, and then who knows who will come out of the East.
So my question is, who has the better jersey? This question's for you. The Dallas Stars or the Texas Stars?
Oh, the new Dallas Star jersey, in my opinion, is way better. The Texas has a, not a throwback, but it's much more reminiscent of the old Dallas Stars jersey.
Which was one of my least favorite jerseys of all time. I really did not like their jersey. And I'm with you. I like the new Dallas look.
The Stars jersey was okay until they just had the one that just said, "Hey, Dallas." Oh, yeah, really? Is that it? No kidding. Holy crap.
I think the new one's real sharp. But, and I love that. I love their home, the green with the logo. That's a great jersey.
Sharp as hell.
I just wish
that green color. Something about that green color just stands right out.
Yeah, it's a nice bright, because, yeah, you've got my other favorite jersey in the league has been Minnesota for years, but Minnesota has that much more forest green, which it just doesn't pop like the whatever green they went with in Dallas.
I've always said the only thing wrong with the Flyers is that their main color wasn't green. And Boston, it wasn't green. just weird yellow and an orange thing going on.
They don't have orange.
The Flyers,
oh, the Flyers
and Boston. Yellow and orange. Hey, any last AHL comments or tidbits?
No, that's about all I can say about the AHL right now.
Well, Kelly, nothing?
No, I got nothing, unfortunately.
Real quick, something that just popped in my head. I saw a picture today of Freddie Flyer, which was an aborted mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers. You've seen him. It's that Quaker-looking dude with wings.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Have your teams or have there ever been a hockey team, AHL or NHL, that has had a mascot you saw a couple times and then it went away because it was terrible? Please tell me Freddie Flyer is not the only guy.
Well, I've got a good one that's related to Norfolk.
Go.
As they didn't get rid of him, but when Norfolk went to the AHL, they introduced the terrifying new mascot, which is it's a dog, it's a sea dog or whatever it is, and he's yellow and he's got big googly eyes. He's absolutely terrifying. He replaced Salty, the old Hampton Roads Admiral mascot, who was cool. He was a dog. It wasn't anything too strangely cartoonish. And the new mascot, the new AHL mascot, was so kind of scaring the children, they actually brought Salty back. And I believe they still employ both the mascots in Norfolk because the introduction of the new mascot went so poorly.
Paul, I know this is a last-minute thing, but any bad mascots you've seen in hockey?
In hockey, no, I can't think of any that come right to my mind. You know what? I take that back. When, the Hartford Wolfpack switched over to the Connecticut Whale for a season and a half.
Right.
Their mascot was this green whale called, what was it called? Pucky the Whale.
Pucky the Whale.
We used to call it, Fudgy the Whale, you know, after the Carvel.
Yeah, Fudgy.
But it was, I have it here on my Facebook page in one of my albums. I don't know how to pull it off because if I could put it up somewhere, I would. But it's kind of obscene looking.
I'll get it.
It looks like a giant green sperm.
I'll get it off your page, sir.
And the one that popped in my head was one that a baseball team tried to do a couple years ago, and I had it on my old computer, but alas, I don't have access to that. It was a yellow sock, but the way the uniform was designed, the front end of the sock, you know where your toes would go, was sticking straight out. So it looked like this, you know, sock creature was very happy to see all the fans. It only lasted for one game because it was just so awful.
Kelly, I know there's one you're going to mention in a second because I want to change it from bad mascots to mascots that have changed for the worse. And I'm going to name one near and dear to me that I think is stupid. And I'm looking at, there's Pucky the Whale. Yeah, that is stupid looking.
Wow.
He does look like he's swimming for an egg. The Philadelphia Phantoms had a great mascot for, Kelly and I have agreed the best mascot in sports right now is Fanatic. Paul, do you have an objection to that? And you
not
are
at
like,
all. In fact, my wife was kind of a mascot connoisseur. That is her favorite.
Yeah, the Fanatic's pretty awesome.
The Philadelphia Phantoms had Flex.
Right.
Great looking mascot for the
fantastic
kid. Superhero. Went to Adirondack. And I'm going to be really appropriate and not unprofessional. They had a special needs beaver going in.
It's so...
What the hell are they got in the water up there? I would think it's cleaner than the water down here.
I don't know.
I don't get Dax being better than Flex. And I understand them getting rid of Flex because it's not Philly. But they better damn sure bring him back when they go to Lehigh Valley.
That would be the question. Is it going to be Dax or is it going to be Flex?
Are no bets. What is Dax? What is he, a beaver?
He's a big yellow beaver.
Beaver with a neon green.
There are no beavers in Lehigh Valley. It's a city. I better see it.
It is not a city.
Allentown's about this big of a city. I'm just saying. at least.
And have you noticed that Dax has one of his teeth is not whole? It's because he ate too much candy and didn't take care of his teeth. So it's like to teach the kids a lesson.
So it's not because he got hit with a puck, it's because he ate candy.
Yeah.
Because he ate candy. Yeah, you were thinking, you know, maybe he got hit by a puck.
Is that his official story?
That's the official backstory, yes.
Oh, for crap.
Oh, man.
Kelly, I know one that you're bothered by that you really didn't mention. You might have mentioned before, Coco.
Skinny
Coco. The Hershey Bears had a nice... There's Fletch. You got a picture with Fletch before. I was talking to you, Paul. You got a picture with Flex.
Oh, yeah. When we go to the All-Star games and stuff, I think we spend half the time just chasing mascots around. when my kids were small, that's what I used to end up doing, is chasing them around with the kids. And then when I got remarried, I ended up having to do it with my wife. So the times just don't change.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. But Coco was a big fat Hershey Bears. Bears are in Hershey. Coco eats a lot of candy. Well, that's just a bad example for the children, so we're going to thin him up. He's in the land of chocolate. He looks like an anorexic... Never mind.
It's bad.
It's bad.
If you're looking at those pictures, Dan, they did the same thing in Providence with Samboni.
What?
And there's two pictures side by side where you can see the old one, the old chubby cartoony bear, and then the new one, which just doesn't look right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I see that.
And you can see that all the weight that Samboni lost, I gained.
Yes, you said it, not me. I saw that Freddie Flyer. Freddie Flyer was an idea, but I'm part of the team. The Flyers had one year they had Slapshot, which was a hockey puck. So it was a dude walking around in a circular, I'm sure he could get through all the doorways in that hole they call it the Spectrum. Because those doors were awesome. But, yeah, I just thought of that, and I was saving that for if we had extra time, because we did. Now, any other mascot stories you got? Oh, the best one in hockey, Yuppie.
Oh, Yuppie, yeah.
Yuppie.
Who doesn't love Yuppie? The mascot without a home, thanks to the heartless people of D.C.
We're not bringing them here. Yeah, well, you know. The thing about Coco that makes me mad, and Paul, you have pictures, they got Hershey chocolate bars walking around that place.
Yeah, but Coco can't eat them anymore.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, it's official. The Penguins have now eliminated
understandable habit.
Columbus
the Washington Caps.
They were down 4-0. They got 3 unanswered goals in the third, and it just was not enough.
Yeah.
So the Columbus Blue Jackets are gone. Speaking of the NHL playoffs, how do you like that?
Oh, what a segue.
I am so good. The king of the segues.
Great segue.
Thank you. Let's vote for a segue. I wish I had a segue. Let's talk about the NHL playoffs. We're going to talk about these that are over now first, and then we'll talk about the series that are left. You know what? Let's get it right. Let's knock it right out of the park first. Paul, Boston and Detroit.
Detroit just had too many injuries and too many old guys. Boston just wore them down. And if it wasn't for an incredible play by Pavel Datsyuk in game one, it would have been a sweep.
Oh, that was a beautiful goal. it was just proof that he is an incredible stick handler. That was impressive. But, yeah, that was total domination.
I picked Boston at the very beginning. That's Freddie Flyer, by the way. I picked Boston at the very beginning. But part of me was like, oh, come on, Detroit. You can do this. And no offense to Paul. I mean, he's smart enough to know I'm just talking podcasts and fan-wise. I kind of wanted them to be like, listen, we're half our team was out. We can do this. And it just wasn't. It wasn't to be. It just wasn't to be.
I think that team against any other team in the East would have had half a shot of pulling the upset. I mean, they would have been the lower seed.
Oh, yeah. Any other team in the East?
That wasn't...
Like the Philadelphia Flyers? Yeah. Sure.
I would think them against Pittsburgh, I would have loved to have seen, because I think they would have beat Pittsburgh.
You were saying about that last game in Pittsburgh, about Philly, just lose that game, please?
Oh, yeah. I told you. I was I was hoping when it went to shootout that they just would have let him score, because I would have loved to see Philly Pittsburgh in the first round.
Now, to connect the two dots, the Montreal Canadiens swept the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-0. And technically, it's a 3-seed beating a 2-seed, which really don't mean crap. I really didn't expect that to go a different way. How do you feel about that, Paul, for first?
It was a shocker that they took care of Tampa so easily in 4 games. But maybe not so surprising when you realize that Montreal had a 13-7 power play advantage for the series.
Yeah, they get quite a bit. They get a lot of calls.
Well, that's a perception, isn't it?
Yeah. Tampa. I don't think Tampa had a chance with their goaltenders. Without Bishop, it wasn't even close. I mean, Montreal, I don't know how – I didn't really see Montreal that much this year, but they didn't seem to be quite the offensive powerhouse that they displayed in that first-round series, but they lit up Tampa.
I think Bishop's injury had a lot to do with that, and Montreal really retooled this year. Remember, last year they had a really miserable season, and they kind of added a lot of physicality and muscle to try to keep up with Boston.
Yeah.
And I think, now we're seeing it pay off. It'll be interesting in the next couple of weeks to see this series. People up here are already losing their minds over this thing.
Well, I was about to ask, what are you looking forward to in the second round matchup, Montreal and Boston?
Oh, looking forward. These series are always just high drama because the hatred between the two teams and the fans up in Montreal think we're just a bunch of uncultured punks down here, and we think they're just, a bunch of pansies, and the team just dives all over the ice, and we're playing 7-on-6 the whole time.
Thank
but,
you.
These two teams have played 34 times in the playoffs in their histories, and it's always fantastic, at least lately.
Listen, if I don't get Pittsburgh and Philly, I'm really excited about Boston and Montreal.
that's just good hockey right there.
Let's go back to the West Coast is pretty much – let's go to the West Coast real quick. We'll talk about St. Louis-Chicago. I really thought it was going 7 games.
I thought St. Louis had it going, but there was a graphic up somewhere on the web, and the first 5 games followed the exact same script as last year.
Yes,
which was just eerie.
Illuminati.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think it was a conspiracy.
I'm joking. I don't believe. Five families own the world, but it's not the Illuminati. It's just five rich douchebag families. Go ahead.
Okay.
Kind of random. I don't know.
The overtime games were fun to watch because it's always fun to watch the playoffs when you don't have an emotional investment.
Oh,
it's
God,
always
yes.
much less stressful, so you can just enjoy the games for what they are. But the first two games
except
in St. Louis were great. But man, Chicago they got up and started rolling, and I feel sorry for whoever faces them in the next round.
Do the Blues – I'm sorry, Paul, did you have anything to say first?
No, it's just Chicago, once they got rolling. Like Kelly just said, this roll is going to continue, at least for another round. But, what fantastic games those first five were. And then St. Louis just kind of blew a tire there in game six, and it was done.
Do you think Miller – they're not going. They're going to keep Miller for a while, right?
Or well, he's a free agent, isn't he?
That's what I was worried. That was
yeah,
what I was worried
yeah.
About.
He waived his no trade clause to go to St. Louis, but yeah, he's a free agent at the end of the year.
So yeah, that's going to be really interesting, and it's really going to dictate the future of that team what they end up doing with their goalie. Because they really geared up for this run, and didn't make it out of the first round. So it'll be. Interesting. A lot of times when teams do that, they seem to kind of blow it up and try to start over. But
yeah,
I don't think St. Louis is that far away where they need to start over.
No, they seem to have all the pieces. They've got a really good young team. They've got an incredible bunch of defensemen. Maybe bring in someone to help with the goal scoring? Because it seemed like Steen disappeared after he signed his contract. Like he was up there in the goal race with Ovi. Ovi put up 3 or 4 the night he came to town to pass him in the list, and then I didn't really hear from him again for the rest of the season because he signed a big old contract, and I didn't see much from him in the playoff series. But, you know, maybe someone to help put the puck in the net. And then, yeah, what are they going to do in the net itself? Are they going to stick with try to re-sign Miller or go somewhere else? Yeah, never know.
Now, they will play the winner of Minnesota-Colorado, which Colorado is up 3-2 right now, and Minnesota is winning this game 2-1. So I'm kind of surprised on how the Wild Avalanche matchup's holding up. Have you guys had any observations?
It's been a great series. If the referees were calling anything,
was it Saturday?
Anything at all? Montreal would be up 3-2 in this. It's the Patrick Roy thing. Sorry, Montreal.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm noticing that connection because the Avalanche seem to get a lot of calls.
That offsides, there.
It wasn't the offsides. It was the holding.
That would have stopped the play right there, though.
No, if they called the holding when Colorado had the empty net and Minnesota got it out of the zone and they were taking it down to at least take a shot at the empty net and the guy held the stick and then the arm and then tackled him, nothing was called, and then they go back on an offsides play and score the goal.
No, I know that, but I'm saying they had 2 chances to call that, and they were like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
He was offsides by a mile. It was a mile. Paul, did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It was an unfortunate way to end, and that game was such a great game. But, these 2 teams have turned out. I had really no knowledge about Minnesota coming in, but they really held their own against Colorado. And maybe that's because Colorado is such a young team that their first taste of playoffs is just not going over that smoothly. But this series couldn't get much more even.
Well, yeah, and I have to say Kemper, the guy from Iowa that they put in the net to replace Brizgalov, has been the difference in this series. If you leave Brizgalov in this, this was maybe a 5-game series, if not a sweep. I mean,
really?
He was terrible.
So Brizgalov was in regular form.
Yeah, he was in his playoff form. But Kemper has been really good. The last game, I think, was the first time they scored more than 1 goal on him. He's been
Kemper. Yeah, and where did he come? Don't say Iowa.
Yeah, he was in the AHL.
All of a sudden, just this guy steps in, and I didn't even know who he was. All I knew is his matched.
That's what happens when you name your AHL team the same as the big league. It's easier for the goalies to have the helmet.
Flyers were okay with the fans, but then everything was purple and orange. Mm-hmm. Kind of stood out. Me a little, the 3 times. Anyway, staying on the West Coast, Anaheim and Dallas. Dallas couldn't hang on anymore. As on fire as that crowd was on Sunday, they just could not hold on, and Gabby and the Anaheim Ducks move on to the next round, and they will face the winner of San Jose and LA Kings. Any thoughts on the Anaheim-Dallas series?
What a nasty series that turned out to be, huh? Who would have saw that coming?
What happened? Like, did somebody make fun of somebody's mama? Like, right at back of the, your mama's fat. Oh, really? Okay. We'll do this on the ice. It's like that scene in Anchorman. I mean, that means all over the internet. It escalated quickly. It was like, boom. I didn't expect to see that from those 2 teams together. And they hung in with each other, too. There was no BSing around once you got physical like that.
There was a lot of back and forth in that series. And just wildly up and down. Whoever was at home was winning until last night when it all just came crashing down on Dallas. That was interesting to watch. I'm not sold on Anaheim, but I was really happy to see Gabby get out of the first round.
I And has Corey Perry become the kind of guy you would love to have on your team, but you absolutely hate him when he's on the other team?
Yes. Yes, he is. He's a Crosby. You're like, how dare he, but wow.
He's a Crosby, but he's nasty and as well as talented.
And he can grow facial hair. It's amazing. I'm just kidding. Kind of. Now, the same thing with San Jose and L.A. Man.
Well, we knew that was a bloodbath going in. That's not a surprise.
I mean, right away, though. The first 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That we knew was happening.
Are we watching another epic San Jose choke, though? They were they had the 3-0 lead and lost the last two.
I think they'll be all right. I think so, too.
But if they can't pull it out tonight, there's going to be so much pressure on these guys.
Sweaty palms for Game 7. Yeah.
At this
point, with giant gorillas on their back, you know.
Yeah, that's Game 7 home monkey, that's a tough one. I think it actually might be tougher to when you know you've got to go home for a Game 7 than when you go on the road for a Game 7. You go on the road, it's like, yeah, they all hate us. All we got is each other. Let's just go and do this. When you're at home, you know, you played all year for the home ice advantage, and then you've got to show up and put it all out there.
I think they'll be okay. At this point in the West, quite honestly, personally, I'm pulling for somebody who hasn't had a cup yet.
So you got the Sharks in Minnesota. Oh, well, St. Louis is out, so.
Right. Any final comments from Paul or Kelly on the Western Conference?
Oh, on the Western.
Yeah, I think that second round in the Pacific Division is going to be epic with Anaheim and whoever ends up playing. I think that's going to be one hell of a series. In the other division, I think Chicago's going to roll over no matter who they play in the second round. So
Chicago, man.
I'm pulling for Minnesota. They've been my Western team for a while, but
Chicago.
I'd like to see Chicago and Colorado, because Chicago had a lot of trouble with Colorado's speed in the regular season. So I'd like to see how that plays out over a 5-6-7 game series. I think Chicago wins it eventually, but it could be interesting to see those young guys start skating around the older legs of the Blackhawks, because they've been playing, those players have played a lot of hockey in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Olympics, three different long playoff runs. It could be interesting.
Who do you think will get a commercial deal out of the West Conference after this is over?
I'm going to go with Gabby.
Just, I hope he doesn't do that Man Depends commercial like that guy from... You know, I really have trouble controlling it when I'm at the bench. Back to the East. I got a chuckle from Paul. I wonder if Abe Froman is watching the Chicago series. Oh, you both got it. All right. Yes, I was worried that Kelly would be like, wait a second.
I know
the
stuff.
Sausage King, Chicago. Pittsburgh, Columbus, as we just announced, Pittsburgh, breaking news, Pittsburgh have, I was going to say handedly, but not really, eliminated the Columbus Blue Jackets. It made me to the point, I'll say it first and then Paul and Kel, to the point where I was like, Columbus could do this. Bob, you could do it, Bob. And then it was just, they almost did it tonight. They almost did it tonight. Paul, your thoughts, Pittsburgh?
Why did they hang in there? A whole lot better than I thought they had a chance to do. They really shut down Crosby for the most part in the series.
That was something.
Oh, wait, Crosby didn't score any goals? He should be fired.
He had a bunch of assists, but I don't think he had any goals in the
No third. Goals. He should be fired. He didn't score a goal in the playoffs.
No, you sound like it. Never mind. No, not saying anything. I'm trying to be neutral. In public. Fleury, honestly, what is with that dude when it comes to the playoffs? I don't know.
If I knew, I would make a lot of money, because I'd go tell him, and then he would give me a lot of money.
So
I'm not complaining, though, because it's a fatal flaw that will get exposed at some point.
Yeah, it always does.
Well,
especially when he falls on the way out.
I've said it all year. They are not good defensively. I mean, Fleury is Fleury in the playoffs, but they are not a good defensive team. I'm not surprised that they had trouble with Columbus. Any team that hits them nonstop 60 minutes a game is probably going to win the series against them.
And who do you say matches up with them well?
Well, Philly always matches up with them because they just hate each other, and Philly will hit them for 60
I was gonna say,
minutes nonstop. They just hit them and hit them and hit them, and Pittsburgh hates them.
For example, that last game, that first period, Pittsburgh was doing the hitting, and then they turned around and started hitting back, and then they stopped hitting back, and it was all over. And one that's dear to my heart that I can't even – I don't know how I'm going to talk about this, Philly in New York. Kelly, you first.
You're going home. You got a chance to win the third game, and then you take it to game seven.
In New York.
Take it to game seven in Madison Square Garden. It can be done. If the Caps can beat the Rangers in the first round, anybody can beat the Rangers in the first round.
Paul, give me a second. If Giroux turns it on like Giroux can, we've seen him. Everybody goes, Giroux's not that crazy. Bull-ass. That was good at it. We know from watching him, if he needs to turn it on, he could turn it on if he would just shoot the effing puck.
Shooting the puck against the Rangers does not solve the problem. Trust me on this one. Trust me on this one.
But he's not trying. He's trying to get the pass every time.
No.
Okay, fine.
I disagree.
Well, that's fine. That's, yeah.
If there's one team I can talk about in the recent playoffs, is the Rangers, because the Caps saw them like 9 times.
Hey, for God's sakes, will somebody please take Nash and St. Louis out?
I told you when that series started, somebody needed to hit the Hobbit. No one ever listens to me. The Caps didn't listen to me back in the day. And he killed us in that third overtime. I tell them every time, hit the Hobbit. No one does. I think that's why he's still around. But they block shots like their lives depend on it. I don't know if there's some sort of incentive program in New York for blocking shots, but it's like the most frustrating thing in the world to watch as the team playing against them.
Who would you take a shot for? Whatever his name is, or Tortorella? I can never pronounce Vigneault.
Yeah, I kind of like to think that the Ranger players have all just decided they're going to play Torts' system now that Torts is gone, just to rub it in his face. It's like, oh, we could do it. We just didn't like you, you jackhole.
That's a very good word. Jackhole is a good word. Paul, how do you feel about New York and Philly? Do you think Philly has a chance in Hale?
I think they do have a chance, and I think, like you said, Mr. Giroux is going to go a long way towards deciding this. Watching these five games, it's just been such a Jekyll and Hyde series to me. It's almost like they're playing hot potato. Nobody wants to really take control of this series.
It's so frustrating watching the flat, and it happens the most in that. I'm so close to cussing right now. That god awful power play. That's what I'm talking about. But especially Saturday, the refs were typical fashion playing the game with the Flyers and gave the Flyers 6 chances to win that effing game, and they couldn't even win it with the refs helping them. This is real reaction. It's like pass, and turnover. Pass, turnover. Somebody shoot the puck. Son of a gun. Listen, I know they block shots, but my point is it was happening in the game before when they won in Philly. They were shooting it a bunch of times, and eventually, hey, look at that, they cracked it. Just shoot it, man. I mean, Berube must be having a connection. Final thoughts on Flyers, Rangers, and any other? I'm going to have a heart attack. Final thoughts on Flyers.
Ah, the playoffs.
God! You know what? Dean said it best. We almost had an argument, but I was like, yes, you're right, Dean. I'll summarize what he said. The guru of HIC Talk Radio Network. He is very curious to the fascination of hockey fans and the NHL playoffs. And I was like, And I asked him, why are you curious? And that almost trailed off into, I was like, never mind. I don't get it either, dude. I just don't.
It's the best thing in sports because it's not like, you know, football is one and done. You know, like there's a week of build up and then they play and then it's over and then it's analyzed for hours and hours and hours until the next game. But hockey is so immediate. Like you play that team and you hate them and if you lost, you feel like crap. But then there's another game and if you win, it's on a roller coaster and you're up and down. You're like manic depressive. It's insane. And the first round is nuts. Watching it from the outside without a team in the mix is a lot less stressful. I highly recommend it.
It's such a death march over 2 months with games every other day. And it's just such high drama and such high intensity. It's like football can match an intensity, but not in scope of what the players go through. They play one game a week, and it's just not the same as that every other night grind where you just end up hating the people.
yeah, the hatred, the pure, unfiltered hatred that comes out of the NHL playoffs.
Voracek got in a fight. There's so much hatred there.
There's something about the format that just, and then it bleeds over into the regular season. All the stuff that we talk about, you know, with our teams, it was all born in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If there hadn't been those epic playoff series, no one would feel that way. You know, in Washington, we wouldn't care about Pittsburgh.
Going back 40 years.
They would just be another team. Yeah. And Montreal and Boston wouldn't care about each other as much. I mean, there's a regional thing there, but it's the playoffs.
Bobby Orr versus Bobby Clark in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that carried over into the 90s. Right through to when I started watching hockey, you heard about when the Bullies would play in the Boston Garden. And I don't mean giving the advantage to Philly. I just mean epic game. I mean, and it came down to a cup 40 years ago, happily. okay. I like the three-man commentary team, three-person commentary team. Last time I checked, you're not a man.
Woo-hoo.
And I meant Kelly, not Paul.
That's right, because I don't know how much checking you've been doing over here.
not enough.
we're sending a team this week, Paul.
Yeah. I'll be sure.
I'll go do some sit-ups.
Yeah. You know what? Whenever I have a... I don't even bother. Like, you know what? It's 2 days away. Forget it. Paul Vager, where can the people find you and plug away, sir?
They can find me in Massachusetts. But you can check out stadiumjourney.com. On the website, we're going to be having our hockey rankings coming out soon. We just put out the college hockey arena rankings last week, and coming soon are the NHL, AHL, and junior arena rankings. Anyone interested in the magazine, there are digital subscriptions available. Our May issue will be coming out soon, which will be our Major League Baseball issue, and featuring an article by yours truly about the Patriots Day festivities up in Boston last week that I attended.
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
I have to check it out.
And on Twitter, at PuckmanRI, follow Paul Baker. Kelly, where are you at?
I am at Dead Central on the Twitter.
I am the host. Forgot my name. No, my name's Dan. Follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83. Follow us, all three of us, at Facebook.com/ObeyThePuck, Twitter.com/ObeyPuckShow. Every Monday night at 9, we're going to be covering the playoffs. It's going to be interesting in a couple of weeks. Wednesday, HIAC Talk Radio, the flagship show, going to be an MMA Central episode this week with a Raw review. But don't forget to go HIACTalkRadio.com for all of your HIAC Talk Radio network news. Before we go, I believe this deserves an encore. Adam Oates, goodbye song. RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. Again, follow them.
It's a cap site, but they're hockey fans. And that's
great.
The great part of checking out that site is that at the end of the day, they realize it's a game, and they have a lot of fun with it. And they got me through this season. without an ulcer. So I wanted to throw a shout out to them because they have been awesome this season, making a painful, painful year very bearable and quite funny too.
Follow them on Twitter. They're hilarious. Twitter.com/RussianMachine. Facebook at facebook.com/RussianMachineNeverBreaks. And the main site, RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. We will see you next week. Good night.
For even strength, oh, the line of choice is made.
Freaking Obi, freaking Beagle.
Adam Oaks, the goalies are disgruntled. Adam Oaks, money rat, Dustin Penner. Adam Oaks.